you. Lovely singing. Our text today comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, confess today that we do not have things all together. We come to you broken and afraid and doubting and worried, fearful of what is to come, failing to see you for all of your worth. Pray, Jesus, that we would stand on you, the firm cornerstone, knowing the only foundation for our life, for our hope, for our love, the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds would be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The largest diamond ever found was in 1905 in South Africa. How much it weighed? 3,107 carats. That's a lot. And once it was cut and polished, they broke it into 9 stones. And its estimated worth is over $2 billion. A lot. Part of the crown jewels in England now. That is very precious, priceless diamond. A lot of women, too, maybe not all of them, but it seems that in our culture, too, it's a dream to have the engagement ring with a big diamond on it and a big rock. You know, that my fiancé or my husband-to-be loves me this much. Somehow I can look at this ring then and know, oh, boy, I have so much worth. My fiancé was willing to spend this much money on me. Right. Doesn't exactly work that way. Sometimes it's what we think. You can also go to the American Museum of Natural History outside of Central Park, and in that museum they have something called the Hall of Gems, where you can go and see all these large, beautiful, marvelous-looking colored gems. The thing about those gems, things about the rocks and the engagement ring, and the things about even that largest diamond in South Africa, is that it needs to be found. Before that, it was hidden. Before that, it was jagged, it was dirty, it was unrecognizable. Even when this person found the largest diamond, they didn't know at first that it was a diamond. They thought, oh, it was just a piece of glass stuck in the wall as a practical joke because it was so big. These gems, these diamonds, needed to be cleaned and cut and polished. Their value and their beauty weren't fully realized at first. To the untrained eye, perhaps, it could have been rejected as just ordinary stones. In 1 Peter today, he talks about Jesus as being a precious cornerstone. That's what a diamond is, it's a stone. That's what a gem is. Well, Jesus was chosen by God and Peter even quotes Isaiah 28:16, those who believe in him will not be put to shame in verse 6. Well, Jesus was chosen by God. He was rejected by men, wasn't he? Too often, just like people in Jesus' day and today, we fail to grasp the value of Jesus. Often we turn him aside as though he's not worth much, or just another stone, or just another rock that maybe looks nice, but it's not really worth anything once I really get to know it. And that's our thought today, is what worth does Jesus have to you? What would you be willing to sacrifice on account of Jesus and following him? What we sacrifice and how we live our lives tells us and it tells other people what we really value, doesn't it? Can you just think about this, a negative example, when you think about addictions and things like that? What happens with addictions is that we get focused so much on one thing that we convince ourselves that we need this thing, this habit, this behavior, this experience. We need it so much that we're willing to neglect everything else. So when you become addicted, you can lose sleep, you cannot eat, you can neglect relationships, you can neglect people that care about you, neglect time to help other people, neglect time with God. Because in your mind you're convinced the thing that's most precious to you is satisfying that craving. Well, we might not have a full-blown addiction. We all have those things in our lives that we think we cannot do without. And that if we were to lose, our house would come crumbling down. So the devil tempts us, and God tests us. Am I more important than that? Am I more precious than him or her? Too often we fail to see his worth. Jesus reminds us today that he is the cornerstone. He's not just more precious than a $2 billion diamond. He's the very cornerstone that we build our lives upon. Upon which we're built on him, we can't be shaken. Do you like to play with blocks? You know, the cornerstone was the chief stone, the most important stone. As long as that was set in the right place, you could have a successful building. But if the cornerstone, if this one stone was out of place, the whole building would come crashing down. It wouldn't survive, or would sink. Or its walls wouldn't be straight, or it wouldn't have enough foundation when pressure was on the wall and over time. But that one cornerstone would be made sure that it was put in the right place, and all the other stones align based on where that cornerstone is. If those other stones aren't aligned with the cornerstone, guess what? They decide to do that, they fall down, don't they? But stones aligned with the cornerstone now become strong and stable. and do what they're supposed to do. Support and help build up the house. It's the same as Christians, 1 Peter says. That as a family of believers, we have a cornerstone. His name is Jesus Christ. That supports and upholds our church, body of believers. And it's in Him that we're able to keep going. It's in Him that we have the power to sacrifice for those things that we can't do without. Those things that we don't want to give up. Those things that we think we need. Or else our world will come crashing down. Jesus says, he who trusts in me will never be put to shame. Will never be disappointed. Will never say, oh, I wish I didn't do that. Will never on the day that you die say, I was wrong. No. We'll say, you're more beautiful than I could ever imagine. More precious than silver or gold. I give thanks when I built my life upon you. Those stones don't really have much value by themselves, do they? Cornerstone is nice, but if it's not connected to anything, it doesn't really serve a purpose. Right? Its whole purpose is to lay a foundation for the house to be built. Jesus did not come for himself. He came for us. Everything that Jesus did, everything that he sacrificed for us, was for the sake of us. Without Jesus, we're just like a stone on the ground. What use does a stone on the ground have? It kind of just sits there, doesn't it? It's probably dirty, it probably gets trampled on. Doesn't really serve much of a purpose, does it? It's not alive either, is it? But when we're connected to Jesus, he finds us. He cleans us of all the dirt, of all of our sins. He polishes us. Makes us sparkle. Clean. Holy. Because of his forgiveness on the cross. And he sets us into a building. His building. His family. His church. Where we're now made alive in him. Connected to him. And connected with one another. Just as we draw strength. When we are connected to Jesus, the people around us draw strength from our own connection to the cornerstone. We are not individuals. We are not alone. We are not here for ourselves. Just as a stone in a wall is not there for itself. It's there for the sake of the whole. So that it might be built up, so that it might be strong. And the stones need each other. If you take out one stone, it's going to affect the whole wall. Though it will stay up because it's built on the cornerstone, that one stone that comes out will affect the other stones. And our walks of faith, what we do matters not only for ourselves, but for those around us, doesn't it? It matters to see your brothers and sisters worship with you today, does it not? draw strength to see that you're not just here by yourself. To know that we're not just the only Christians here worshiping God on Sunday. We join millions, even billions of believers around the world that are joined together in a single house, all supported and connected and made alive and polished by Jesus Christ. And that is why we endure. That is why, in the midst of all of our dirtiness and rejection of this cornerstone, Jesus remains faithful. He remains solid. He remains calling us back to put our trust in Him. You see, in the cornerstone, that if one of the stones decides to not align with the cornerstone, it gets off balance, doesn't it? Too often we think of Jesus as just a spiritual relationship and not actually think about Him in our own lives and how that affects all that we see and what we do. Even things like our health, our financial situations, marriage problems, our addictions, our relationships, our stress, our anxiety, our envy, our jealousy, our lack of contentment. It all goes back to the source, our connection to the cornerstone. Even our very attitudes. We think too much about the symptoms, don't we? Oh, I just need to fix this. Just need to get a little bit more money. Just need to, you know, get that special someone to like me. Just gotta get physically healthy here. Maybe I just need a couple more hours of sleep. And the real problem is, most likely that our connection with the cornerstone is what really needs the attention. Because when we're connected to Jesus, we certainly will suffer, and that's one of the messages of 1 Peter, is the hope in the suffering as a Christian. But yet inside we are changed. Inside we know we have peace because we're on that cornerstone. Who is sure, who is solid. And so when you find your life out of sorts, don't treat the symptom. Treat the source. You need to be reminded of your connection to the cornerstone that can never be uprooted or shaken or destroyed. And those who put his trust in Him will never be put to shame. What a wonderful promise. First Peter says in chapter 1, God in His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That you have been born again of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. How wonderful. If I were to give you that $2 billion diamond today, would that make you happy? If I just pulled that out from under here? By the way, here you go. Merry Christmas early. Yeah. We wouldn't say, wow, that's awesome. And isn't Jesus worth more than that? Worth far more than a diamond. It's not even alive. It's just a stone. What can it really do? Give us money. But through Jesus, they have eternal life. They have forgiveness. A diamond can't do that. We have a sure foundation in our life. People with lots of money often get worried and overstressed. End up wondering why they're not happy. One thing I learned as I've gone overseas a lot is how easy, I'm sure you've heard this before, right? How easy it is to take our lives for granted. You ever heard that saying? Right? Let me just give you a little bit of a picture of the global wealth. Might have heard some of this before. But right now, 80% of the world's population owns 5% of the world's wealth. 80% of the world's population only has 5.5% of the wealth of the world. And the wealthiest 1% of the world has more wealth than 99% of the world's population combined. This 1%, the top wealth. The 80 richest people in the world have the same wealth as the poorest 50% of the world combined, 3.5 billion people. And if you have between $10,000 and $100,000 worth, you're in the top 20% wealthiest people in the world. Just $10,000 without debt. Maybe that puts you out. And even when we think about that, right? When we go into debt, do you really need to go into debt? Do you really need that $30,000 car or $200,000 house? That, you know? The things we go into debt for, could we do without? At least half of Americans, with all that we have, live paycheck to paycheck. Crazy. You go into a country and they're like starving, and the only two oranges they have for the day they give to you because you visit them. Yeah, we come here, and with all the things that we have, we still can't seem to have enough to make it through the day or the week. We try to fix it, don't we? Trying to fix buying another thing. Looking differently. But the source is what we need. Connection to the cornerstone is what we need. That's what the world needs. It's easy to take things for granted. The wonderful thing about this cornerstone is that even if we don't recognize its worth, it still has its worth. It still is the most important thing anyone could ever possess or build their lives upon. And so it's always there. It's always there for us to repent and put our faith back in. And to rest when we fail, when we fall, when we don't want to align ourselves with it. As excited as we are about possessing that diamond, let's not forget about the wealth that is already ours. Just in the same way that when the miner was in that shaft and he was looking for this diamond, it was already there. You just need to look at it. There are things in our life as we do our spring cleaning that we find, oh, I didn't know I had that. But it was there. And it's pretty cool. The same way Jesus is there. We don't need to find him. We don't need to do digging. He's revealed himself to us. He's come to us. He's made us his through choosing us to be his royal household, his royal priesthood with direct access to him, privileges of being able to offer sacrifices of faith and good works in his name, being his ambassadors to the world that's full of dirty dead rocks. You know what they need? Need to be polished. Need to be cleaned. They need to be connected to the cornerstone. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Knowing the worth of Jesus not only gives us great joy, but it tells us about the worth of ourselves, too. That we were worth everything that Jesus did and all of his sacrifice and suffering. And that now he has given us the most wonderful purpose in the world, to connect other people to the source of life, so that they too might be made alive, know the joy of being built, connected to the cornerstone. In his name, amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Jesus Christ. Amen.